Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to another exciting episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're up to episode 144. I'm going to dedicate this to all the hardworking Hydro workers who got me back on the grid last night. The MMA Gambling Podcast North Studios was rocked by a sudden storm yesterday and caused a lot of damage all around. Everything's okay. Our house is okay, but we got knocked off the grid, no power, no internet until fairly recently. But so I got to miss most of that, what seems like a very exciting fight night last night with lots of consequences at the top of the divisions in the UFC. But I only got to see highlights today. But so I'm going to lean even more heavily on my co-host than I normally do on this here podcast. I haven't even introduced myself yet, let alone my co-host. I'm known as Ugly Man Joe, Jeff Fox. How you doing? Thank you for coming to this here show. We're going to break down the action from MMA this past weekend and look ahead to a kind of quiet, but also if you're an MMA nerd, it's not going to be a quiet week because there's always fights going on, but all the big promotions are going to be dark this coming week. No UFC, no Bellator, no PFL, but we'll find something fun to look ahead to and decide what we're going to talk about coming up on Wednesday. Let's bring in this here co-host of mine from the MMA Gambling Podcast South Studios, even though he's definitely not in the southern part of the world. You know him as Gumby, Danny V, Daniel, Dan, or Mr. Vreeland, depending on where you meet him. He would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, so I know you're saying things don't have a lot to do with the tops of divisions, but I would actually argue there were at least three winners who were all talking about in terms of their ranking slash whether or not they're getting a future title shot from last night.
Really? Three? I see. Yep. Maybe two.
Well, two that would get title shots, one that will for sure be in the rankings come Tuesday after never being in the rankings before.
Wow. There you go. We have something very exciting to talk about then coming up. You can count on Gumby to always put a positive spin on things. And somehow, despite us differing on how many of our picks we differ on, a couple of them?
Just two. Two.
We still ended up tying for number correct, and we tied how much money we made too. Crazy, because we did make money.
Yeah, of course. You're still in the positive on that.
I am for the year.
I'm still on the positive in my recommended place. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Barely. Well, we'll get to that, but yes.
I should have been higher, though. Holly Holm by... Well, we'll get into Holly Holm by decision, or not by decision. Or maybe I shouldn't have been higher. I'm going to waver on this pick about 17 times.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a fun episode. So, we had UFC, and then we had some wacky results in Eagle FC, which... messed Dan up out of some money, right?
No, we're not even going to count that.
Yeah, both of them. You got
neither of those fights. Let's get those out of the way right now.
Let's do it. So, Eagle FC went down on Friday. Dan had in the main event. Dan had Junior Dos Santos to beat Jorgen De Castro, which he was doing, right?
Yeah, he was handedly doing. Like he was just
until
looking
his
like
shoulder.
It looked like one of those performances where they put Junior Dos Santos against an up and coming UFC guy back in the day, you know, like Blago Ivanov or somebody like that. Cause I'm pretty sure he fought Blago Ivanov when they first signed Ivanov. And he just like outclasses him. He's just a better boxer than him. And that's what he was doing with Jorgen De Castro. Then he throws this right hand and his shoulder just comes out clean out.
That probably happens when you get old and beat up and. His body looks a little different than when he was in the UFC, which seems to happen, eh? People leave UFC and
it does seem to...
and it's weird. Their bodies get better. I don't know how. UFC must be doing something to make people's bodies bad.
I will say it's funny to me all the time that people are like, 99% of the UFC is juicing and they're just not catching anybody. But we do have these very real cases of people leaving and then instantly looking like they're much better. So like, even if the UFC is not catching everybody, they're at least scaring enough people that they're not doing it. Because remember, have you seen Vitor Belfort recently?
Yes, exactly.
That dude's enormous.
Exactly. So anyhow, people who had the plus 255 Jorgen De Castro, the Mad Titan, people who had a plus 255 ticket on him, they somehow won, even though they were losing.
Yeah, that's a great beat if you have a Jorgen De Castro ticket and a terrible beat if you had a JDS one.
Yes. So Dan is not accepting that loss. And then in the co-main event, he had, in basically what was a pick'em fight, he had Hector Lombard minus 110 over Thiago Silva. And then what happened, Dan?
Nobody won this fight. Lombard got quite tired. And by quite tired, I mean like he was basically needed a nap in the middle of the cage. And then Thiago Silva offered him an out and chose to hit him with an illegal blow, which, again, back to referees saying that it was accidental. He threw a knee, trying to knee him in the head, succeeded, and somehow that's accidental. Yeah. I will never understand. Like, he was accidentally on the ground? Did he not know? It doesn't really matter if he knows or not. It's illegal. Another weird one. And for some reason, a no contest and not a DQ. I thought I was going to get a good beat with the the DQ, and instead I got a no contest. So,
yep.
So 0-1 with a push.
Yeah. So, yeah, not the greatest, but, that happens. These things happen in MMA. As says, is that severe MMA? That's what they say. Yes.
Well, that's originally a Gus Johnson quote. Did you know that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. When they had the brawl, right?
Yeah, that's the Gus Johnson quote from the Shields and Diaz Fight Mayhem Miller brawl in Strikeforce. Yeah.
Oh, the good old days. The good old days. So, yeah, Eagle didn't go quite as planned. But UFC went much, much better. Even for Dan's picks. Imagine that. So we'll get to that in one sec. I want to tell you about WynnBET first. Make sure you get down on the Wynns Bet $50 Wynn $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And if you get this in your ears soon enough, this promotion is ending today, May 22nd, you can win a golf trip to Wynn Las Vegas PGA Championship. Bet $100 or more on golf this week and be entered to win a golf trip to Wynn Las Vegas. There you go. So hopefully you get this in your ears soon enough. If you're subscribing to our MMA gambling podcast feed, you will get this in your ears soon enough, probably. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where I play through. WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today, with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. The SGPN guys do, for sure. It's a game-changing product, and like anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper, too, by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm so excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button. It is insanely fun to write it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play the new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. And now I'm making Dan make a pick without telling him in advance. Make a pick, Dan, for Sleeper.
Let's take hits on so we'll take the nighttime baseball game just in case you're listening to this before the 7 p.m. game starts Sunday Night Baseball. I'll take the over on hits from Tim Anderson. He's pissed off at Josh Donaldson for some things that he said. So I'm going to say he's going to have a big day there. And I'll take the over on Luis Severino strikeouts. That dude's striking out a little bit over one an inning right now. So I'm going to say he catches enough White Sox to make it worth your while.
All right, there you go. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right, join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right. Last night, as I said, I just got to see basically, I saw some of the fights, but mostly just highlights this morning. Now, once the internet got put back up. So this was UFC Fight Night, Holm versus Vieira, UFC Vegas 55, which went down at the UFC Apex last night. In the main event, we both had Holly Holm in our regular picks and our recommended plays, and she shockingly lost. Holly Holm usually doesn't lose, but she technically lost a split decision to Ketlin Vieira, 47-48, 48-47, 48-47. Controversial pick. Most cards I see are going with Holm. Hearing that Holm, you know, looked a little slower than she has in the past, and, you know, I didn't expect this to be much of a fight, but at least the highlights is how it seemed like it was much more of a fight than I would have, much more action than I would have expected from a Holly Holm contest. We'll let Dan give you a more detailed breakdown on it.
Yeah, so here's the thing is that, like, I've wavered back and forth about who I thought was going to win this multiple times based on my viewing. It seems like most people have given Holly 1 in 5 and probably 3. But here's the problem I have with it. Ultimately, I think under the criteria, the right decision was made. Ketlin Vieira 1, 2, 3, and 4. All of her strikes that she landed were more meaningful than Holly Holm's. Holly Holm's mostly, like, not doing a lot of damage on the feet with the exception of a couple of leg kicks. But then, like, you know, doing what she did to Raquel Pennington, which was push her against the cage, hold her there, make her work to get out, land a couple of, like, knees to the inside of the thigh or the inside of the knee. But, like, nothing that did any significant damage, but just, like, controlled the fight there. And that doesn't win you a fight, according to the criteria, right? And even in her post-fight speech, she said, "I think I controlled it enough," which, by the way, is the second criteria after effective striking and grappling. So, like, under that criteria, she didn't win. But here's the part that was hard for me. Is, like, she's fought this way a lot of times and won those fights. You know what I mean? Like, the judges have consistently given her those fights in ones that I was like, oh, those people didn't win or whatever. And then, like, she did it here and lost. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's right. But, like, it's like a pain in the ass in MMA that, like, you could fight one way, win that way, even if it's wrongful, win that way. And then ultimately, like, lose that same exact way the next time. So it just feels like, the judges got the criteria right this time, but it almost felt like Holly had been lulled into thinking that that is a way that wins a fight, which is silly, but I guess she's done it before. So no hate to Holly, I guess.
Well, that's nice of you. Takeaways other than the decision. How do either women look? Is Ketlin Vieira a legit challenger? Is Holly Holm washed? Are those two opinions too extreme? And it's probably somewhere in the middle. What do you think?
It's definitely somewhere in the middle. Look, I think if Holly Holm goes in there with the right game plan and doesn't think that just holding her against the cage wins her the fight, you know, if she, like, found a way to separate and just throw, like, she threw a separation elbow a couple of times that landed on Ketlin. If she separated through that elbow and then stayed in Ketlin's face and just, like, you know, worked the body or something like that, I think she wins that fight. Like, I would pick her to beat Ketlin Vieta again with, like, the right game plan. But, like, so ultimately that's terrible for Ketlin, right? Because she gets the win that probably propels her closer to the title shot. And us fans all here are thinking, like, oh, she's not even as good as the person she just beat, let alone the champ or the uncrowned champ who might take her belt back in a month or two. It's just a very weird situation and didn't leave me feeling particularly good about either of them. I wouldn't say Holly Holm's washed, but, like, I don't know. The way she's fighting right now does not seem to be conducive to winning her fights. So, yeah, I don't know. No comment on women's bantamweight, period.
These things happen in MMA, Dan?
Yeah, these things definitely happen in MMA.
That's what I thought. All right, so we got that one wrong. Dan got the next one wrong, too. Silly Dan. Another split decision, which I'm happy it went my way, but much more exciting fight of the night. Michelle Pereira, -120. I had him over Santiago Ponzinibbio. Split decision, like I said, 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. So cards all over the place there. Three different scorecards for it. Looked like a good fight from the highlights I saw. We'll let Dan give you more insight because that's what he's here for.
I mean, it was back and forth. I will say this, like, in terms of how you score a fight in terms of doing the more impactful strikes, Pereira won. When they were reading the split decision, I had my fingers crossed that Ponzinibbio would win because that would have given me 9 straight wins on the night. He didn't win. Pereira landed the stronger strikes and Pereira wobbled him a couple of times. And, like, you know, Ponzinibbio, you know, sort of cranked it up at the end of the fight, but, like, he didn't, you couldn't give him either the first or the second. It was very clearly Pereira in the first and second. And if you don't believe me, just note that the Sherdog guys all had it 29-28 for Ponzinibbio.
It's just unreal, Dan.
It's easy every time.
Now that you've called it out, it's just so, like, you know exactly. They must have a different criteria than everyone else. Obviously,
they get to invent their own criteria, I believe.
Yes. Well, it sounds like most fighters have their own different criteria in their heads anyway. We've had Holm and then what's her name? Rose thought she won with defense and Holm thought she won with control. So everybody has their own ideas of what wins fights.
Yeah. Yeah. And it turns out it has to be rooted in the actual rules in order to win a fight.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So you would think people would check into that. So I heard Pereira's gas tank looked as bad as ever. But he's fighting a better style, obviously to win at a higher level, but gas tank's still a concern is what I'm hearing.
I won't say as bad as ever. Cause that Tristan Connolly fight was so bad.
And well, he's not doing flips anymore. So
Tristan Connolly's a fucking fly or featherweight, right? Like he's not even close to being a welterweight, and just outworked him. So yeah, like it's not as bad as then, but like, yeah, it didn't look good, but this is the guy who I told you he's going to be in the rankings. He just beat a ranked dude and has won, what is it, 5 in a row now for Pereira?
That would be 5 in a row, yep.
Yeah, crazy. Yep. So, yeah, he'll be in the rankings, and it's insane to me how young he is. Did you realize how young he is?
No.
He's only 28.
Wow, yeah. He's been through some wars, I guess, but yes, I wouldn't have guessed that at all. He doesn't seem that at all, huh? Go figure.
No, he looks like an old guy.
Yeah, well, that's MMA fight number 41 you had last night. So that'll do it to you.
Yeah, that'll age you.
That will age you. All right. So you still feel all right about your pick there. Ponzinibbio seems like he looked all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fight was lined perfectly, right? Like he was an ever so slightly dog and like a couple of more impactful strikes in the second and he wins that fight.
Yippers. All right, middleweights. I did see this one. Chidi and Jacuani, our man Chidi Bang Bang, came through KO elbows over Dusko Todorovic, 448 into the first round. And he got himself a performance bonus for that. It wasn't just the knockout, like we expect that, but I thought his grappling looked pretty darn good because Dusko was very wisely not wanting to stay on the feet with him, and seemed like Chidi was holding his own on the ground.
Yeah, he chased the submission too, which props to him. Like he almost had a anaconda choke in there, which was pretty damn impressive. And then when he didn't get it, he didn't settle into being in guard. He was just like, oh, got to get my ass up. And he did. So, I mean, it's certainly making him look like a middleweight we've got to keep our eye on, because that is a good set of skills to be together. And my goodness, that elbow. And also props to him for not following up that elbow, right? Like, he lands it and he just walks away and waits for Chris Tione to realize how messed up Dusko Todorovic is. So props to him on so many fronts. I mean, like, he looked like the killer we thought he'd be and the reason why we bet him at for a knockout.
Yep. Minus 200, and we had him had the knockout prop, which we get into. We will get into, excuse me. So that's already pro fight number 30 for him. So there's really that they got to put the pedal to the metal here, right? No need to slow play him any longer.
Yeah, and he's not a young guy
in the
too,
division like, he's in.
Yeah, he's not a young guy either. He's 33. No. So like, yep. But like that being said, I saw a graphic the other day. I can't remember. Oh, it was Charles Jourdain had posted it on his Twitter. He definitely didn't make it, but like he stole it from somebody and put it on his Twitter. And like, there isn't a champion younger than 32 right now. A men's champion that is younger than 32. Okay, yeah. So like, you know, he's probably in his prime based on what we now know about men's MMA fighters. So yeah, but you're right. Time to test him. The first two tests were, I mean, like he's still only barely been in the cage for more than 1 minute in the UFC. He's 2-0 or one round rather.
Yeah, it's not just his age. You don't usually see guys with this many fights finally break through to the UFC, plus like a ton of Bellator fights too. So
I think against high-level competition too. That's the other thing. Like I know sometimes you can be like, oh, you know, he's fought five times in Bellator and it's like one in one prelims. But like this guy fought, you know, Andre Fiallo. He fought Andre Korshakov. He fought John Salter. He fought Rafael Carvalho. Like he's fought like really, really legitimate dudes. And before that, he knocked out Alan Jobin. They mentioned it on the broadcast last night. He's got a KO win over Alan Jobin. So, like, yeah, he's traveled and has certainly been tested already. But, yeah, I want to see him tested for real now.
Do you have anyone in mind, Dan? Usually you're good at booking these fights. And I mean, they listen to you.
This really feels like I hate saying this, too, because he's such a good dude. But, like, this feels like an Ian Heinisch fight. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like he's built to fight Ian Heinisch. Heinisch has got, like, just a little bit more grappling than Dusko Todorovic would have, but also would probably be in a position to get knocked out stupidly, kind of in the same way we saw Dusko Todorovic do it. And it'd just be, like, a nice catapult up the division. I honestly would love to see him booked higher than that, but that's sort of where it feels. Like, I'd love to see him step in with, like, a Kelvin Gastelum or a Brad Tavares, but I just don't think he's going to get that fight coming off a KO over Dusko Todorovic. So, yeah, give him somebody like Ian Heinisch.
He says dismissively, Dusko Todorovic. This isn't
Dusko Todorovic.
Dushko. Yes. Yeah. You said it dismissively, though. Like,
pfft. Well, I mean, like, fair enough. I mean, like, look at his record. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the guy a lot, but like, you know, losses to Puna Soriano, losses to Gregory Rodriguez, now a big KO loss to Chidi, and the wins aren't really great. Daquan Townsend and Maki Pitolo, both of which aren't in the organization anymore. So yeah, like I'm not blown away by him. It is interesting that he TKO'd Michel Pereira on the regionals, but like, yeah, I'm not blown away by Dusko Todorovic.
Dan's getting someone fired again. Get ready, everyone. UFC roster watch or whatever that is on Twitter is going to have an X beside Dusko's name very soon. All right, this is the kickoff of 8 straight wins for Dan. I usually pull off runs like this, but no, Dan was the one doing the runs last night. So he had Tabitha Ricci, the baby shark, came through over Pollyanna Viana, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28, 28-8. I had Viana at plus money, then it reached you at minus 120. So you hit that one. Tell me, I just saw some highlights and it's hard to tell really what happened. Looks like Ricci used her grappling to get this one done, which is the path to victory that she could, would have had to use.
Yeah. You could just go back and listen to my breakdown on Wednesday, 'cause it was perfect.
So I smart. Said, oh, listen to this guy.
I said, Tabitha Ricci takes her down and stays safe enough against the submissions and threatens her enough and throws enough ground and pound that Pollyanna Viana loses at least 2 rounds. And literally exactly what happened, because while Pollyanna Piana has really good sub skills, she doesn't have really good sub skills to beat somebody who is a black belt in judo and a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And look, everybody had the fight for Ricci win in the second and third round after Viana had a little bit of success in the first round. Most of the people's scorecards had Ricci too. Look, even Adelaide Bird didn't screw this one up. So, yeah.
How about Sure Dog though?
Even Sure Dog had it. Although I say that very funny because Sure Dog also two out of the three guys. Oh no, all of the Sure Dog guys actually gave the first round to Tabitha Ricci too, which she did not win.
There you go. We should have them on sometime and find out what's going on there with their judging.
Yeah, like dude,
if it's on purpose or what?
Do you watch the fights you're doing? Like what?
Like, what are we doing out there? Yeah, is it some kind of silent protest against the way fights are scored? I don't know. It's very interesting, though, to say the least. But this isn't a Sure Dog podcast, or we wouldn't be bad about the Sure Dog, would we? All right.
Probably not.
Well, we may have been. Who knows? We may still be. Who knows? Opener of the main card was a middleweight fight, Jun Young Park. Another split decision. He won split decision over ya boy, Eric Anders, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. We were happy about that choice because we had Park at minus 215.
Yeah, and this one it's super bizarre in the way that it was scored because if you look at the judges' scorecards, Judge Anthony Manis, who is one of the judges who scored it for Jun Young Park, scored the first and second for Park and the third for Anders. Mike Bell scored the exact opposite.
Was it that close watching it?
It was a really close fight. And also, just so we know too, the other judge didn't agree with either of those judges either. They gave Park rounds 2 and 3. So one judge gave Park 1 and 2, one gave him 2 and 3, and one gave him just 3. So really, really weird scorecards. But it was really close. The thing I would say is I'm kind of shocked as many people gave it to Anders as they did, because I thought in real time Park won. And I think it was largely because like any of Anders's offense was like a jab followed by like a shitty takedown attempt that didn't work. Park would stuff him and then hit him with a couple of punches. So like it looked like Anders was doing something all the time, but he didn't succeed in any of it. So yeah, like I had Park pretty easily, but a lot of the media scores on this one all do say Anders, including all three of the guys from Sure Dog. So
my God.
So Jun Young Park probably won.
these things happen in MMA, Dan. Did other guy look good?
I continue to like what Jun Young Park could do. The fact that he forced Eric Anders to stand and trade with him and would not go to the ground with him and was not getting taken down, like, props to him for that.
All right. There you go. Some props to him. So that is the main card. I went 3-2. Dan went 3-2 as well. But more to come. We got the prelims coming up. Dan is still in the midst of his hot streak. But first, let me tell you about Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens, the AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. As I cough into the mic, hopefully it helps me not choke. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, not paps, packs with your first purchase.
Travel paps, visit, huh?
Huh? We don't want travel paps.
No, I don't think anybody wants a travel
totally
pap.
Different. That's, we're not a pap podcast. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And while you're online, go to Athletic Greens. Make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data, This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore or without IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. To the prelims, Ugly Man Joe. I don't know. It says Joseph Holmes on Wikipedia. I don't know who that is, but a guy named Ugly Man Joe won the main event of the prelims. Middleweight fight against Alan Amadovsky. Submission rear naked choke a minute four into the first round after he... This is basically a TKO victory, was it not?
Yeah, the flying
with
knee.
Yes.
Yeah, it was hard to say it was a flying knee. I'm not sure he was entirely off the ground, but it was like a well-timed knee up the middle. Just absolutely put Amadovsky on skates, knocked him down. He did try to get back up and wound up getting choked out. But man, like I said this on the show too, is that like I thought people were writing off Joseph Holmes based on the fact that like he looked pretty tired his last time out and he didn't look as good as he looked on Looking for a Fight or on Contender Series. But like he is a really talented prospect and he was fighting a guy on a 3-year layoff and he looked like a talented prospect fighting a guy on a 3-year layoff. So like, again, I think, you know, that small sample size of that one really ugly loss to Jamie Pickett, who is a very physically strong dude who can wear you out. Yeah. You know, like I think we got to overlook that because Joseph Holmes is actually, you know, not a ton of dudes who you're like circling as middleweight as prospects, right? Like, you know, there's Chidi and Jikwani we just talked about, and I don't put Joseph Holmes on the same scale as him, but like, you know, he's a lot earlier in his career too. So we'll see what comes of him. But I was pretty impressed.
And he's a friend of Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast, who was just on it last week. Very good interview that man. I guess you did all right too, but Ugly Man Joe is fun.
I love talking to Ugly Man Joe. That dude is
just a great attitude.
Yeah, and I don't know if you probably didn't because you had no power and barely watched the fights, but yep. If you got to see his press conference afterwards, which I caught a little bit of, you know, one of the guys from Cage Side Press asked him a question at the desk, and first of all, he waved to him, which was a really funny move. Like, Ugly Man Joe waved back at the reporter, and then he finished the question. I think it was Alex Behunin, and he said, oh, hey! We did an interview together recently. What's up, man? And I was just like, this dude has got the best vibe about him on the whole planet. Which also, like, he answers people on social media all the time. It's like really good for his own personal brand. People seem to rally behind him.
Yep, good dude. Follow him on Twitter. You can go back and listen to his interview if you haven't already on Top Turtle MMA. Yeah, fun guy.
We talk about the origins of his crazy mustache.
Exactly. And he more importantly to everyone and people that trailed us, he got us a big 195, which fine. I'm not going to sneeze at any kind of money. So we got him for 195. Next one we got for plus 128, and boy, did it come through. Like this was at a much smaller scale. This was the Andre Petrosky pick all over again. So I couldn't figure out why Medich was the underdog here. We were thinking maybe because he looked so horrible his last fight, but it's not like he was fighting a world beater in this one. But Medich looked fantastic. TKO punches 305 into the second round over Omar Morales. And we gladly gobbled up that plus money.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty crazy, like we're going to talk about another underdog in just a second that we won on. This one felt more obvious, right? Like the one we're going to talk about and the other one is like we banked on a guy making some improvements and he made those improvements and that won him the fight. But with Medich, like we didn't even need improvements. He just fought like a murderer last time out. People started writing him off. And then he fought a guy who was substantially worse in Omar Morales and looked great, just blistering him on the feet, and he really put him together. So, yeah, good win for Nedich. I still don't know really what he does at lightweight, but he's all right.
Yep, he's all right.
Did you miss our heavyweight contest? I think you missed a fight.
I did. That's right. I skipped the fight. Excuse me. Heavyweights. Jelton Almeida, Jelton Jr., Jelton, whatever you want to call him.
John would have been so mad at you.
I know. He loves Jelton. Jelton, we all love Jelton. Jelton and Chitty are I was going to say our favorite from last season, Dana White Contender Series, but there's so many. Jack Della Maddalena.
Jack Della Maddalena is so fun, dude.
Yeah, I know. There's so many. But anyhow, Jelton came through. He messed up our prop bet because he ended up submitting Parker Porter. He looked like he was going to TKO him 4:35 into the first round, but he ended up sinking in the choke. We thought the fight basically went the way we expected it from. Actually, I just saw the last 10 seconds. So what am I saying? But the ending was what we expected, except instead of just pounding him out, he ended up slipping in the submission.
No, you're 100% right. He didn't look for a submission once until it was in. Like not once. He looked to ground and pound the whole time. And then I think he started to worry that like he was going to tire himself out or the ref was never going to call this. And Parker Porter was just doing enough to move. So he was like, I guess I better put this choke in and get a submission instead. Which like good on him for doing that. Like that's a smart play. It was a bummer when you have a, what would you have? Plus 250 ticket on the TKO.
275, plus 275, excuse me.
For the TKO. So that was kind of a bummer, but, incredible if you look at the stats. Jelton Almeida has now been 2 pro fights and has never taken a punch. Like, not one.
He's Damian Maya.
Not one significant strike. I mean, like, he's... I don't want to sound hyperbolic here.
Go ahead. That's what we're supposed to do. We're sports broadcasters, Dan.
Yeah, that's true. How are people more excited for Khamzat Chimaev than this man? I really don't know. And I don't mean to be mean to Khamzat Chimaev because I do like Khamzat. And his win over Gilbert Burns is a high quality win. And Jelton Almeida still doesn't have one of those. But like he literally just had like the same 2 fights as Khamzat did, right? Like he fought who the hell did he beat the heck out of in the first fight? I'm trying to remember now and I can't.
Who? Khamzat?
Oh, he beat Danilo Marquez. So
okay,
he kicked off his career by beating Danilo Marquez, a guy who's a very good light heavyweight in the UFC, right? He's a guy who, what was he, like 3-1 at the time with a submission win over Mike Rodriguez recently. Like, that's a decent record. You know, like, he's a solid dude in the UFC, Danilo Marquez is. He follows that up by beating a 3-1 heavyweight on a 3-fight winning streak with his only loss being to a top 10 guy. So just like Khamzat, he fought a guy in his own division who is, and then went up a division, fought a guy there, waxed them both, took no significant strikes, neither of them, except for Khamzat was against the guy who had literally no takedown defense or grappling, followed by another guy who had literally no takedown defense or grappling, and somehow we were higher on him. Like, don't get me wrong, like, people are excited about Almeida, but man, I think like, the level of hype between those two, I don't know what the disconnect is. Because, like, he's put on the same 2 performances and looks violent doing it.
Maybe he needs more controversial political friends?
Better facial hair, maybe? Maybe the facial hair now.
Maybe. Plus, Habib has trained people to eat. Khamzat kind of gives you sound bites like Habib did. Like he gives you like the little quotes, kind of broken English quotes, which people.
He says smash. But Almeida has like somewhat broken English too. I mean, I guess he uses a translator most of the time, but like he has a little bit of English in there. Maybe we just need him to say dumb things and then maybe he'll be a meme.
Yep, dumb things. And I say, get a bloodletting. Is he a dictator? I don't even know what that man's.
I think warlord is the word
warlord,
we're looking for.
Get one of those guys on your side. Maybe that's all it takes for you to get the big push. But anyhow, Almeida, yes, look good. My apologies for almost skipping over him. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But
it's mostly just because I didn't want to talk about Jonathan Martinez versus Vince Morales.
Why? It wasn't that bad. Martinez looked really good. He won
It just wasn't exciting to watch. Like on a card where like most of these fights were damn exciting or like showed us something. This just showed us that Vince Morales got beat by Chris Gutierrez's teammate exactly the way Chris Gutierrez right. beat him. He lost to two Factory X guys in a row in identical fashion.
Minus 215 on Martinez. All right, fine. You probably want to talk about this. Our boy Chase Hooper is all grown up in front of our eyes. He doesn't really look like he's... I guess he kind of looks like he's growing up. His hair's a little...
He does not.
TKO'd Felipe Colares. 3 minutes into the third round. A lot of threes there. But yeah, he got the job done. It's got to be a trip getting beat up by a kid that looks like that with the, you know, his face, his body, his hair. It's got to be a trip. But it was a trip getting him at plus 145, which... In retrospect, I guess even at the times we picked them, but in retrospect, this seems like quite a gift from the line making gods.
Well, I think we talked about it too. Like Kolarish gives up a little bit more in terms of takedowns than the two losses that Hooper has taken, which are Alex Caceres and Steven Peterson. But yeah. Also, like just in addition to that, like he's been gone for 11 months, over 11 months for that matter, and like. After fighting Steven Peterson, a guy who he just couldn't get to the ground under any circumstances, and he lost a very one-sided decision in a fight where, if you remember going back, I took Steven Peterson in that fight. But like it was just like a very one-sided fight for him in that. You have to imagine the reason he was away for 11 months was like he knew he needed to become a good wrestler, and he knew he needed some boxing. And he came out there, and by God, he like actually boxed a little bit. In fact, like, there were times where I think he was beating Felipe Colares on the feet, and like Colares instigated some of the grappling. So like, you know, good for Hooper on that. Good for him. Anytime Colares got him down and was on top of him, he was like looking for sweeps and he had him off balance. I do have one quick thing I have to say though. It is a travesty that Chase Hooper wins Performance of the Night here.
Yes, and, Performance of the Night. Yes,
and Joseph Holmes does not.
Yeah, ugly man. Come on.
Like come both on. Of them tried to finish a guy with one style, right? Like, clearly Hooper was trying to finish a guy with submissions, and instead he wound up with the TKO. Holmes the other way, almost TKO'd a guy and wound up with the submission instead. And, like, so neither of them got, like, plan A. One of them with, like, a jumping knee to a rear naked choke. The other one was just, like, in the first round and barely the first minute. And Hooper did so with, like, good body control and just, like, pitter-patter punches. And, like, not that it wasn't impressive for Hooper, but, like, my goodness, how do you leave Holmes, or even for that matter, Ursos Medic out in the breeze to give it to Hooper? Seemed like a weird play.
Yep. But it was a good play for us, Dan, plus 145. And we were getting our props in the Slack for that. See, did people not follow our instructions in Slack? It seemed like people were down and losing money last night, which they shouldn't have been because we weren't.
No, we had quite good ones. So hopefully, yeah.
I just skimmed through it this morning. It seemed like people weren't. We're talking about a rough night. Like the ending of it might have been, but if you bet on the prelims, which you should, then you should have been all right. But anyhow,
you should bet $100 on every fight.
Exactly, in every fight, then you would be up like I am this year. And then the opener we got wrong. Elise Reed got beat by the Sampage Sam Hughes, who's won two in a row now. Look out, Dan. TKO elbows and punches, 352 into the third round.
Yeah, it was kind of upsetting. I would just say Elise Reed, it's so weird because, like, in her debut fight, we were like, okay, she doesn't belong at flyweight. So Jara Eubanks bodied her. And then I was like, well, I expect Corey McKenna to body her too. And she didn't. She managed to handle Corey McKenna pretty easily. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, if she's beaten Jasmine Jesuda Vicious, which, you know, kind of a debatable decision. Jesuda Vicious probably won that one way back when. She beat Jillian DeCourcy. She beat Corey McKenna all by stuffing most of all those guys' takedowns. Who's gonna imagine Sam Hughes does? And you know who does? Sam Hughes. Now, I will say there's one other facet to this fight that sort of makes it interesting, too. Do you know where Sam Hughes has been for her last two fights?
Somewhere wrestling.
She's been at Fortis MMA. Fortis MMA, owning her wrestling. Gym. And so after going 3-0 with her previous team, which was, no offense to Catalyst MMA, but I don't have the slightest clue where Catalyst MMA is. After three fights with Catalyst MMA, she's now 2-0 with Fortis. So maybe somebody who's just making use of her physical gifts, because that's the thing, is like say what you want about those losses to like Luana Pinheiro or Loma Lubume or Tisha Torres, but like she's a fighter who has lots of physical gifts. She's very strong. She's very tough. So like if you can find a way to make use out of those, then I think you've got a pretty decent prospect on your hands.
And that's a tough slate of fighters you just listed also that she had fought previously. So maybe there's a Hungarian event with a loss, but that's what we did last night. But there wasn't many L's in between. We both went 8-3. We both were up based on our $100 per fight bet, which is the minimum that you all should bet. We're up 266.02, both of us exactly. So it was a push. Overall, I am at 66% hit rate for the year, up $800 on 206 UFC fights. So 4% return on investment, betting every fight, the same amount in every fight, regardless of the number I'm being given. So crazy. Dan up, he's 58% on his picks and he's down $1,400. But
I'm coming back.
That, Dan. He's coming back, baby. That just like last year when you had that, the huge comeback at the end of the year, you started it a little earlier this year. So recommended plays. We got too cute again, Dan.
I mean, props. I did, but I was so close. You know, yes. Like, I, you know, you're saying too many props, but on one hand, first of all, what was I down? Like $30?
Not you were even. Down 34 and I was down 24. So,
yeah. Okay. So down $34, but like Holly Holm by decision almost cashed. That would have been an extra like $70, I think. And then we're talking about being up big and Almeida by TKO, like was right there. So like, I did get a little cute, but each of those almost cashed. And if both of them had, I'd be up like what, $100, $200?
Would have, could have, should have, but it didn't. So yeah he had right home, there. Home via decision loss. He had Chitty via key TKO or KO one. He had Jelta versus KO loss. So 1-2, $34 down. I had home via decision lost at Chitty just winning outright because I'm a coward. One at Jelton KO lost at Medic winning outright, so won that one. 2-2 down $24. So on the year, recommended plays. I'm at 57%, up $52. Dan's at 48%, but he's up $50. I'm ahead of you in the money and
$2
in the percentage. Yeah, I'm ahead of you in every category now that we rate, Dan. I'm ahead of you. So
well, I don't take percentages worth shit. Those don't matter. Okay. The money is key. I got to get $2 back next week.
You do $1.63.
Exactly. $1.63. All right, you're up at $1.63 for right now.
America.
What's that? Like $3 Canadian?
Not quite, but yes. So that's that. I forgot to ask. What are we doing with Caitlin Vieira? Is she hanging out and waiting for a title shot now?
I mean, maybe. The weird thing about this one is like, on one hand, you know, beating Holly Holm is enough.
Right.
But like on the other hand, like, do you really want somebody getting a title shot off of that? And in addition to that, Let's be real for a second. If Amanda Nunes goes out there and does exactly what I think she's going to do, which is beat the brakes off of Juliana Pena, you know they're booking the third one, right? Like it'll be booked before they leave the cage, like that they're going to fight again. So like, yeah, I don't know if she can wait, right? Like she can be waiting for so long, right? Like when is she going to be back to fight for the title? Are we talking like early 2023?
Yeah. Yep.
And so like, I guess the other option is like, you know, somebody like Irene Aldana is beat her the first time. Right. And it was only, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. She knocked her out. Like give her a chance to avenge that. If she can avenge that, you know, like, maybe she, you know, then you give her the title shot. And if not, Irene Aldana would be, you know, coming off of 2 wins over Caitlin Vieira. And I mean, she got a decision loss to Holly Holm in there, but like maybe Irene Aldana gets the chance.
Yep. Who's to say? It's kind of a mess. It's one of those things where she won, but now she may have found herself in an even more difficult position here. So have to wait and see how that plays out. So that's that for that event. UFC is going, like I said, going dark this week. They'll be back June the 4th for a fight night, Volkov versus Rozenstruik. I'm sure that gets everyone's blood pumping.
I love that fight. Are you being funny? Because like I think that's a damn fun fight.
It's a who cares fight also, though. So now the guys can do much, but okay. I mean, do much in terms of the heavyweight division. But yeah, I think we've seen the best of both of them already.
Yeah, probably. But they're both like very legitimate top 10 fringe top five guys.
Yep. And Aaron Blanchfield's coming back, Dan. One of your favorites. Yeah. So that's good. All right. So this coming week, what do you want to talk about on Wednesday? We've got KSW coming up and we have odds for that posted already. So you want to do some KSW picks come Wednesday? They have an event coming up on the 28th.
There's a couple other organizations that I think will probably post before Wednesday. KSW obviously is like a bigger one, although it's headlined by a Maurice Pujanowski fight. And I just don't ever know what to say about that dude. Like he's really strong, but like there's not really much. He's evolved quite a bit as an MMA fighter, but like at the same time, like I don't really know what to say about him. But that being said, there's also a decent Cage Warriors card on as well. Is there two Cage Warriors ones this weekend? I know Cage Warriors 138 is on Saturday, but I don't know if there's 137 because sometimes they've been bookending them lately too.
Yep,
it is 37 on Friday and 38 on Saturday. So like,
all right, so maybe we'll get some numbers for those.
Two Cage Warriors. And there's also like a fairly decent Canadian promotion running an event on Friday, which is Unified MMA. They're out of Alberta, Canada. They've got a couple of UFC veterans in there, as well as like a couple of prospects who I'm pretty high on. So like there's some good talent out there this weekend, even if you're bummed that there's no Bellator or no UFCs.
There you go. We'll always give you something to bet on. So whatever we get lines for, we will hit you up with on Wednesday's episode. If there's any questions you guys would like to or topics you like us to cover over the next few, you can hit us up in the SGPN Slack if you want. That's always a fun place to be. Or on Twitter, I'm Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. And obviously read and listen to our stuff. You can listen to us obviously right here. Subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed to get us in your ears right away, so you don't have to wait for us to come out on the big SGPN feed. And read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and read my MMA stuff at moneymma.substack.com. I think that's pretty much it. I have stuff, trees to clean up and rotten food to throw out of my fridge and lots of fun stuff from this storm. So I'm going to let Dan take us home. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He is the baby shark, Jeff Fox. And we will catch you on Wednesday.
Do-do-do-do-do.